I once had a person come up to me and ask, "Father, is it true that if I get married in the church, will I be married like permanently, forever, for eternity to that person in heaven?" I'm like, "Well, no, marriage is for this world, so I mean it's as permanent as this world can be, it's until death, but no, I mean it's not for eternity." She's like, "Well, oh good, thank goodness." I'm like, "Okay, everything okay?" And I actually pointed out this scripture passage to her, saying, you know, that marriage is ultimately for this life. It, you know, we can validly, as Jesus even points out, remarry when one's spouse dies. We're free to remarry again because marriage is ultimately about this life. It's a sign in this life that points us towards heaven. The union of man and wife in marriage in this life, that great bond, that unity, is only a sign of the great unity and bond that all of us will have with God in heaven. Our relationship with God is meant to be so real that it is even greater and transcends even the sign, as beautiful as it is, of man and wife becoming one in marriage. It's for that reason that we can start to understand then a little bit of those who feel called and choose the celibate vocation. Because ultimately, the celibate vocation does not reject marriage. Rather, it says marriage is a great good. But it goes further than that and says, ultimately, even marriage is destined to pass away as it points towards something to be fulfilled in heaven. So the celibate witnesses to that fact. The celibate foregoes the worldly sign of God's love and union with us, which we'll have in heaven, and says that I will bear witness to that even now in this life, that my relationship with God is every bit as real as a marriage, and even more so. Now, it's not fully realized in this life. It is, therefore, necessarily pointing forward towards an eschatological fulfillment at the end of time in heaven. This has a particular tie-in with our feast today, that of the presentation of Mary. Mary was presented in the temple as a young girl, and that's what we commemorate today. And there's some thought that it was a normal practice, maybe that young girls were presented in the temple. But then with Mary, it also seems that she chose more than just the normal consecration to God that maybe any young girl would go through. But rather, it appears that Mary herself would have taken some sort of pledge of celibacy to remain a consecrated virgin dedicated to the service of God in the temple. Think now, as we prepare to enter the season of Advent, that beautiful passage of the encounter of Mary with the angel Gabriel. We read that so many times, in which the angel comes to Mary and says, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And he says, "You will conceive and bear a son." Now, Mary's greeting, when she hears the greeting, she's troubled at the greeting, but then she also questions, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" And I think our normal response to that is to think, well, Mary's questioning, "How can I be pregnant because I have not had sexual relations with Joseph yet?" That's, I think, our first reaction. But if we look deeper, particularly into this idea of the presentation and celibate consecration of our Blessed Mother, even from her youth, I think we can make more sense of this. Because if you think about it, if Mary is engaged to Joseph at this point, which she is, if she's intending to get married, which she is, and have children, would it really be so strange for the angel Gabriel to come to Mary and say, "Mary, you're going to have a son"? Well, if Mary is intending to have children, okay. I mean, Mary would naturally think, "Yes, of course, I'll have a son and hopefully many sons. That's good news." And it would certainly not be something that we would think would trouble her, or that she would have to question, "How can this be?" We presume Mary knew how this could be, how children come about. So if she's planning to get married, she shouldn't have to question, "How will it be that I'll have a son?" Well, it's pretty obvious how she'll have a son. She'll have a son with Joseph. But if Mary was a consecrated virgin presented in the temple, then it makes more sense when the angel says, you will conceive and bear a son. Now we can see our Blessed Mother thinking in her head, but I have no intentions of engaging in marital relations with Joseph. He is going to be my spouse, my protector, my guardian, but I'm a consecrated virgin in the temple. My vocation is to bear witness in the celibate vocation. How then can this be, since not that just I don't know man right now, but I have no intentions of knowing man in that way? You should know that if you're from God, because I have this pledge. Now we can see why Mary might be troubled. And then the words of Gabriel, of course, make perfect sense. Do not be afraid, for the child will be conceived, not by Joseph, not in the normal way, but through the Holy Spirit. Now Mary can be at peace with her vocation to the consecrated celibate life and the additional vocation to be mother and indeed mother of God. As we, therefore, prepare to enter the season of Advent a week from now, and on this feast of the presentation of Mary, we particularly reflect upon the great call and vocation of Mary in her life, one that is witnessed to even today through those who are committed to the celibate vocation, that it points to that special call, that vocation in all of us that God gives us even very early in our life to bear witness to the unity we'll have with God in heaven. We thank our Blessed Mother today for her faithful commitment to her vocation. She said yes to God at a very young age. She had to say yes again when her mission was augmented and changed by the angel Gabriel. She always said yes. We pray that we would have the courage to say yes over and over again in our life as we see God's plan develop in new and more beautiful ways each and every day of our lives.